B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with pet Celtics and bays. They'll also talk soft and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Casper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, you know, the big story of the day is this Bruins-Capitals game last night. Bruins 5-1 win. And the cheap shot that Tom Wilson had on Brandon Carlo in this game, if you just might have missed that in the update. Brandon Carlo released from the hospital this morning. He's back home, so good news there. And NHL player safety tweeting about an hour and a half ago that Tom Wilson's been offered an in-person hearing via Zoom. For boarding Brandon Carlo, date and time to be determined, but you got to think he's going to get anywhere between 6, maybe 10 games based on when you have these hearings in person, again via Zoom, but in person, you're going to get whacked some of these games, and rightfully so. But it still blows my mind, Chris, that the refs allowed this to get out of hand. They kind of got allowed Wednesday's game to get out of hand. And they do nothing, and then they realize there was a serious injury, then they try to control things, but that they didn't call anything on this hit. I would like to think that there's going to be some sort of repercussions for the officiating crew last night, whether they take them out of the rotation or fine them or a heavy yelling at, because the worst possible thing that they could have done is call nothing, and that's what they did.
It's true. Maybe a very harshly worded email. Who knows?
Yeah, anything like that. But if you want to weigh in on last night's hit on Brandon Carlo in that game, you can have at it there at 617-779-0985. Do have some Celtics-related and NBA stuff left on the board with your calls. We've got a Russell in California who wants to talk about the NBA All-Star game. Hey, Russell.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know, money is definitely the biggest issue why this game's being played, and more specifically is because the communist Chinese government is allowing this game to be broadcast in China. So this is the first broadcast of an NBA game in over a year here since that whole incident.
Really? So I didn't know that. I didn't know that this game was allowed to be broadcast in China. I thought there was still the freeze going back to last year and the comments from Daryl Morey and that whole kerfuffle.
It's being broadcast, and I think the NBA is bowing to the Chinese communists over there to let them bat hands over there that they love the NBA.
Well,
so
yeah, you know,
I don't know, it's just an angle. It's just
economies.
An angle that might be influencing the head of the NBA.
It's a good point. Obviously, one of the most influential economies in the world, and yeah, the NBA found themselves in a sticky situation there when it came to what was going on in China and the government and some of the comments that were made by Daryl Morey when it came to what's happening in Hong Kong, where they're being stripped of democratic freedoms left and right. So that's I did not know that. I did not know this game was being allowed.
Yeah, me either. I don't know if that's actually true. I should probably look that up, but I'll take the caller's word for it right now. Why not? Because I'm lazy. Paul in the car on the All-Star. Oh, Paul just dropped.
Wait, yeah, that bottle of wine really did you in.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Are you sure this was wine? It almost sounds like you guys were on the scissor last night.
No, it was just a pricey bottle of wine.
Sure? Yep. Sure there wasn't a little codeine in there?
No. No, Chris. Yeah, I don't know. I was washing down the wine with some other activity. No, it was just a bottle of wine. I'm old now. I can't handle booze like I used
to. Little purple drink. I mean, first of all, don't act so indignant like it would be so out of the realm of possibility for you to use any sort of controlled substance.
Oh, I'll talk openly about that till the cows come home.
Okay.
And I've had,
sure.
Yeah, and I've had lean before.
Okay.
I will say, yeah.
There
like,
we go.
Yes, at one point, like if at some you're a liar if you at some point you have been prescribed codeine cough syrup for whatever your ailment happens to be. It's usually what do they give that when you have bronchitis?
Well, the strep or something.
Yeah, they probably don't give it to you now because of all the regulations and everything. But back in the day, if you did happen to be prescribed the codeine cough syrup and there was a little bit left over, you're a liar if you're saying, "Oh, I'm going to mix this with a little Sprite and see what all the buzz is about." And you find out like it's not all that great. And I don't see what the big deal is. But have I done that? Of course I have. And you have too, you liar. Let's see. You don't act like you're above it. Frankie in Boston on Blake Griffin. Go ahead, Frankie.
Hey, guys, I just want to know your opinion on possibly acquiring Blake Griffin, seeing that we need, like, an authentic power forward.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, too, Frankie. I just think at this point he's an injury waiting to happen, and he's mostly washed up. That's why I said earlier today. Now I can't hang up on him because, of course, this thing is all frozen.
I love when you have the computer. You get so angry.
Chris, if there's one, like, there's everyone's got a trigger, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When I see the spinning wheel of death on this MFing piece of garbage phone screen software that we use, it really sends me into orbit.
I'm sorry, I'm terrible with pop culture, as you know, but what's the movie with Michael Douglas?
Falling down.
Oh, yeah, that's me. You.
Yeah,
that is 100% you when that happens.
Oh, yeah, no, I will stop the car on 93 and get out and just start walking. I just don't understand it, how in 2021, we don't rely on a lot of software here. And this one particular one that we truly do rely on, like, it just keeps crashing all the time. Like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be, but apparently not. Let's go to, who do we have here? Well, how about that? It just all froze up again. Well, Chris, before I say something terrible that cost me my career.
Yes, Jim.
I know you had a leftover take you wanted to get to regarding Jackie Bradley Jr., who's now a member of the Brewers of Old Milwaukee.
Oh, yes, I did. I did have a leftover take. So, you know, I'm thinking about this, and I see the contract that Jackie Bradley Jr. got from the Brewers. 2 years, $24 million. But it's really sort of a one-year deal. Make $13 million this year, has an opt-out after this year, and it's $11 million on the back end. And I'm looking at that deal, and I'm thinking to myself, well, the Red Sox just signed Danny Santana to a non-roster invitee contract. So obviously they have some concerns, some questions about their outfield depth and how that's all going to work with that configuration. So I'm thinking the Boston Red Sox don't have the resources to ultimately do that deal for Jackie, sort of as like a one-year rental. Why is that? And the only thing I can sort of come up with is that it's not really about the resources at the end of the day as much as the real appeal of Chaim Bloom for the Red Sox, upper management and ownership, is that he's going to take a small market mentality here. Like, I am fully on board with the idea, and I have been for a while, of building something that's sustainable. However, I do not think it's a binary choice between building something sustainable, enhancing your farm system, and being able to field a competitive team at the major league level. You can do both. And in fact, when Theo Epstein was here, they did do both frequently. They won a World Series in 2004. They won one in 2007. But in the meantime, they were developing players like Dustin Pedroia, John Lester, Jacoby Ellsbury. You can do both things. So it's just stunning to me that they couldn't do that deal or didn't want to do that deal for Jackie Bradley Jr. And to me, it speaks to a larger issue here, which is that Chaim Bloom is not running the Andrew Friedman playbook with the Dodgers. Friedman was his boss with the Rays before. And basically, Friedman said, I'm going to take the best things from the Rays way, and I'm going to add them, and I'm going to supplement them with the resources of a big market franchise like the Dodgers. So the Dodgers have built their farm system, but they've made splashes like signing A.J. Pollock in free agency, or they just brought back Justin Turner, who they really don't need. But they're like, you know what? We like this guy. This deal, we can afford it. We're going to do it. Whereas Bloom at this point is just turning this team into the Fenrays, which I feel like is a mistake. And it's a mistake for this reason, because if you're the Boston Red Sox, you are now forfeiting one of your biggest advantages, which is that you have more resources than almost any other team, at least outside the Yankees. And I think you have the same resources as the Dodgers. So why not use those resources to the max to field a team that can win this year while you rebuild the farm system in the background?
So you're really lamenting the loss of Bradley more from a team building standpoint.
Yeah, more from a philosophical standpoint.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's more understandable to me. The caterwauling surrounding Jackie Bradley Jr. since this happened was a bit much. And one of the reasons why I was like, good. Like, nice player, contributor on some memorable Red Sox teams, including what might be their best team ever a few years ago when they won the World Series. But the overwhelming number of plays made by this guy in the outfield could be made by most decent major league center fielders.
Oh, I don't know about that. When you robbed Aaron Judge, the catch he made against Bobby Wilson of the Twins, those are two of the greatest catches I've ever seen. This isn't Jim Edmonds running around out there diving for balls that like Andrew Jones got to standing up and camped under. Like, Edmonds is one of the most overrated center fielders of all time. If Jackie's diving for a ball or leaping for something, chances are there's like basically no one else in baseball who would even have a play on it.
Yeah, look, very good defensively. He is. And you still need the offense. And the truth is, he starts slow. You can count on him to suck in April, year in, year out. He'll have a dip in the summer. He's streaky. He's overrated. Yes. You people couldn't have been more annoying about him. He's a darling of the analytics community, who I despise. So, I just enough with the nerds. So, like, bye. Nice guy. Everything you hear about him, like, the nicest pro athlete you'll ever meet.
Great. Yeah, Jackie's great.
And probably a weird look that this team doesn't have any African-American players on it anymore.
It's not great.
But just from the overall, like, you Bradley people, like, there's part of me that's like, all right, good. Like, we don't have to do that anymore. And enjoy him, Felger. But I can see what you mean from a philosophical standpoint, how this team is being built, and now that they're treating this operation like they're the Reds, for God's sake, now. Like, it's embarrassing.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's like, I feel like with Bloom, and again, I wanted them to bring in Bloom, and I did think they needed an outside perspective, so I don't want to be a hypocrite here. I was just hoping that he would take more of the Friedman approach, which was to meld his process to the resources of a big market club. And I'm not seeing that. The biggest contract he signed so far in terms of money and length is Kike Hernandez, 2 years, $14 million. So I just feel like he has a real small market mentality, and that means that every solution has to be cheap or it has to require ingenuity, even when obvious ones are staring you in the face. And to me, Jackie Bradley Jr. is an obvious solution for them for center field for basically 1 year. Jaron Duran's not ready yet. You bring Jackie back on this deal, and chances are he's going to opt out after the season. And if he doesn't opt out, you can trade him next offseason. In fact, if he has a good year this year and Jaron Duran is doing well, you could trade him during the season. And imagine this, actually get something back for Jackie Bradley Jr. instead of getting nothing as he leaves as a free agent. So I look at this and I say, why weren't they more in on JBJ? And once JBJ's market collapsed, why wouldn't the Red Sox just do this deal as essentially a one-year rental? I mean, luxury tax concerns, all this other stuff. Why wouldn't you just do this deal as a one-year rental, especially when you have the manager out there every day telling us how we're underestimating the team and how good he thinks they're going to be and they're going to be a contender? And who was the player? Who was the Red Sox player? Was it Matt Barnes? There was some player.
Yeah, it was Matt Barnes.
Who basically was like, go ahead, underestimate us.
Yeah.
So you're telling me how good you're going to be, but meanwhile you're signing Danny Santana. I have no idea who's going to be in center field. It seems like it's going to be a carousel between Verdugo and Kike Hernandez. And you could have signed Jackie Bradley Jr. and told me you actually think you can win this year.
Like, you had straight up quit from guys last year, like J.D. Martinez and Benintendi, who's now gone. So they're not going to be unwatchable. Like, straight up, that was an unwatchable product last year, and it was weird with everything going on. But still, like, it was pretty gross. They're not going to be that bad. But the talk of them being like, oh, we're going to don't sleep on us. We're going to surprise people, like, that's a bit much. So with that, Chris, pop quiz. As of April 1st, can you name the starting rotation?
I would say Eduardo Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, that's two.
Garrett Richards.
Okay, pretty good.
This is tough. I don't think Houck's going to be in there.
You can't do it. Most people can't.
Unless you're like Andrees, I have no idea.
Unless you're like a hardcore seam head like Jared Carrabas. Like most people, I forgot about Richards the other day. I did this on Felger and Naz. It's like Rodriguez, Eovaldi, Martin Perez, who they brought back.
Oh, Martin
was actually
Perez.
Decent for them last year. And then I was like,
Matt Andrees,
Nick Pavetta is the
Pavetta.
Other name. Like, but come on. You're going to surprise people this year, please. Okay, you want to add that to the conversation? Theoretically, we have the phone screener back up and working. It is now taunting me, teasing me. It's flashing like it's like, we're working, Jim. You can press the buttons. We'll see. We'll see when we come back next. We'll try to get to your calls here on Gasper and Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near corner, Carlo. Wilson going for the big hit. He just drilled Carlo up high, and Carlo is down.
He got him in the head, and he came a long way to do it.
Animated earlier on the shift because of the checks that he tried to throw on Trent Frederick. Let's see what happens here.
Came a long way to do this, and he got him up high.
You could see it. He hit him clearly in the head. You know, Brandon's in an ambulance, goes to the hospital, obviously, from that hit. Clearly looked like, to me, got him right in the head. Defenseless player, predatory hit from a player that's done that before. So I don't understand why there wasn't a penalty called on the ice. They huddled up, but I did not get an explanation why. It's out of our hands after that. We've just got to play hockey.
Yeah, it's a good question, I think. It has to start from the players, to be totally honest with you. We're the ones that are playing the game. So, you know, I think there's, to go back to your first kind of the start of your question, I think there has been some improvement over the years, but, you know, there's obviously always work to be done. It's a fast game, I'll give you that. But that being said, I think we have to be smart. We have to think about consequences when we go for hits.
They're a good team. They play hard. We're a good team. You know, you knew it was going to be a good game. You know, that was a bull hit. Brando had his head down in the corner, and, you know, he took a liberty on a guy that was in a vulnerable spot. So that's a cheap shot there, and you know, we lost a great player. You know, it is great to see him skate off the ice by himself, but you know, he was obviously in a bad spot, and he's hurting, so that's a bad hit.
All right, it's the big story of the day, a cheap shot from Tom Wilson on Brandon Carlo, who, if you didn't hear the update at the top of the hour, has been released from the hospital, is back home, and NHL player safety has offered an in-person hearing via Zoom to Tom Wilson for boarding Brandon Carlo in last night's game. As cheap a shot as you're going to see. And while I do appreciate and always love the violence in the NHL, there's no room for that. Stick-up, blindside, headhunting, and no penalty, too. Like, that's the other thing. Don't forget and don't lose any anger towards the officiating crew last night, because the league is going to review this. They're going to meet with Wilson, but they shouldn't just be reviewing the hit. They also need to review what was indifference by the refs, or just straight up stupidity, like you,
or incompetence.
Yeah. So
all of the above.
You know. So that's something else that you know, you should feel some righteous anger for today. Frank the Tank on this hit last night. Go ahead, Frank. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Hanging in.
Yeah, me too. Now that, you know, my inner Paisan DNA anger has kind of calmed down from last night. I mean, that's just, you know, I talk about it all the time, the lack of respect for players amongst themselves in the league. And that's, you know, it's been a continuing disgusting thing, in my opinion, for about 30 years now, ever since they implemented that instigator rule. And, you know, the referees, I mean, my God, I mean, talk about losing control of a game. They barely controlled the game the couple of nights before. But this is the problem. You don't police the game like you're supposed to. Well, the players are going to take it into their own hands, and rightfully so. But, you know, when you're watching the game and you're looking, you know, what they show you in between the first and second intermission, and if anybody, and I don't think it's being talked about enough. I mean, anybody who's anybody in this town, whether you're a hockey fan or not, you know, everybody knows the kind of leader that Patrice Bergeron is. But last night, what he did in between the first and second period, skating over to Tom Wilson, and I'm assuming he was telling him that they're coming for him. That's a boss move right there. That's a leader. That's a captain. That's the kind, you give me 20 of Patrice Bergeron's. I give Wilson credit for dropping the gloves more than once and answering the bell for it. But, you know, the lack of respect amongst players themselves, it's disgusting. And guys like Wilson, they prey on that kind of stuff because there's not too many more guys in the league like him. Granted, Tenorti answered the bell, which is great to see him. And it was great to see Bergeron go by the penalty box after the goal and tap the penalty box glass to let him know he did a good job.
Love that. The guy's been here, Frank, the guy's been here, what, two games? You know, it does show you, like, the camaraderie that these guys have and the love that they have for each other, right? Like, the guy, you know, you have the captain and one of these, like, Mount Rushmore guys and Patrice Bergeron playing here. Tenorti tunes him up, does his job, goes into the box, goes over and gives him the tap. I loved that.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, granted, yeah, we see it on TV, but we don't see what happens in the locker room. And you know, you absolutely know that in between the second and third periods, the first guy that everybody's coming to give him the fist bump is Tenorti. Wilson's probably going to get 10 games for that, even though it is a shortened season. He's got the history of it, and I don't mind guys playing on the edge, but that's a lack of respect for your fellow professional athlete on the disgusting.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, yeah. Frank, too. That's the other thing. Like, you know, like, I like, again, I like the violence. I like, you know, Trent Frederick. I said on Felger and Maz this week after the game Wednesday, like, I didn't really love that it felt contrived and kind of forced. I was with Maz on this, that he was trying to get into it with Alex Ovechkin, and Alex Ovechkin quickly reminded him of the hierarchy in the NHL with the old stick to the Jimmy.
The old Logan Mankins?
But, you know, the hit that he laid on Wilson in that game early in the second period, like that tone-setting hit, that's what I like. I said, I'm like, maybe Frederick can be your Tom Wilson, this refined Tom Wilson, which is turns out as a false narrative. Like, oh, no, he's not the same player anymore. No, turns out he's still a dirtbag. Like, I like violence. I like the tone-setting hits. I like the goon-ish type of player, but not when you get into filth like you got from Wilson last night. There's no room for it. It shows a lack of respect for your fellow player. Like, it's not hyperbolic to say that is the type of hit that can paralyze or kill someone. The guy Absolutely. Left and went to the hospital last night.
No, you're totally right. And it's the type of hit that the NHL is trying to legislate out of the game. And I think we had a caller who said this earlier, but at a certain point, it's incumbent upon the players as well. I get it. It's a competitive game. It's a physical game. Hockey players are the toughest athletes. I understand. You know, you need to establish physical dominance there. But there's a way to do it without endangering your fellow players. And ultimately, if they're not going to protect each other, then there's really no amount of rules making or rules tweaking the NHL can do. And then it sort of becomes, okay, if there are people in our player pool or people in the midst who are reckless and dangerous and endangering other people, then we have to find a way to take care of them. And maybe that's where the fighting piece comes back into the game.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls. See, the phone screen is working now, and there's all kinds of calls lined up that's, you know, Patriots quarterback related, still some leftover Celtics calls. We'll get to all of those next as Gasper Murray continues on. One open line you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You told me when we were talking before, and I think it was a really quite amazing thing, about when Giselle ran, and when you'd won the Super Bowl a few weeks ago in Tampa, in the team that you'd moved to, and she tell me the story that you told me when she embraced you on the field.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a big moment, obviously, yeah. And it's a culmination of a lot of, you know, months of everyone working hard. And like I said, there's so many people that around us support us. And then all of a sudden the game ends and you realize, okay, the season's over. We won the Super Bowl. They're dropping confetti. And this year was obviously different with, you know, a lot of the protocols. But anyway, we were looking for my family. And I said, where's my family? Where's my family? And all of a sudden I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave a big hug. I saw my, you know, my two little ones. And all of a sudden I saw my wife and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, what more do you have to prove?
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. So I was, I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
Give you a little Brady gravy there. Did you happen to catch any of that or any of the clips from the interview with James Corden?
I like James Corden. So I like that whole thing. I like James Corden. Obviously, you know, I love Brady, and I really like that Dua Lipa levitating bed.
Oh, wow. I'm hitting all the notes.
Yeah, that was great.
Coming back with some Brady sound. You like James Corden for some reason. And yes, Dua Lipa is fantastic.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I just thought I would play that for you. That's all. I have to address this because I'm just bothered by it because I don't know if you're getting the at mentions all of a sudden. So, you know, this dude, Mo Chanel, like he's been on Twitter for a while. It's at Mo Money Chanel. He's a former producer at ESPN for NFL Live and PTI. He said he broke Kemba to the Celtics, Minka Fitzpatrick to the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's one of these guys.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
32 minutes ago, he tweets, and I'm getting all, see, Murray, check this out. See, it's going to happen. The Patriots' talks with Houston have become very serious. The two are close on a deal that will send Deshaun Watson to New England. Hashtag Texans, hashtag NFL. I would add to that, hashtag fake as S. That's fake. Like, that's not happening. The Patriots aren't getting Deshaun Watson, so, like, don't buy into that. That's complete.
What's this guy's, what's his percentage? Like, what's, you know?
I don't follow him. He follows me, apparently. He says he had Kemba to the Celtics and okay. Minka Fitzpatrick to the Steelers, AB to the Bucks, and Tom Brady leaving New England. Hashtag Moe's Army. Here he tweets, January 7th, 2020, breaking news, Tom Brady and Patriots run together is coming to an end, per source. Brady does not plan on retiring, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so maybe he's got some
he's had stuff. Some hits. I mean, that would be unbelievable. I'll be honest with you. I would be excited, and I would be happy to be wrong if they got Deshaun Watson, and that would be amazing. I guess the question is, I just don't see it in terms of why would, like, honestly, and I have a lot of respect for Nick Caserio. If he trades Watson to the Patriots, he should be fired.
Yeah.
He should be fired. And I'm not saying that from any sort of negativity about the Patriots. It's just that there's other teams out there with better assets. And in any deal, I don't care if Bill gives you 5 first-round picks. You worked here. You know what Belichick does when he has a franchise quarterback. All those first-round picks he's giving you are going to be at the back half of the first round. Whereas if you trade him to another team, yeah, Watson's good, but you know maybe there's another 4-12, 5-11 season in there if he's on the Jets or he's on the Dolphins. So if you make that deal, you're a moron.
It's just not real. It's not realistic. Deshaun Watson wouldn't approve a trade here. There's many,
but think of that.
Yeah, there's a lot better options. For one, if a trade's going to happen, like make it happen with the Niners. Like go with Kyle Shanahan and actual offensive weapons with San Francisco. Why am I even entertaining this? Because I have tried to live by a rule lately, Chris, with all things Twitter, whether it's whining or lies like this, like oh you know it's in talks, like it's heating up. I do like to, as you know, you or I like to crowbar an old Simpsons reference into the show week in, week out. So do you remember Treehouse of Horror 6, Just Don't Look, Paul Anka and Lisa Simpson together when the 50-foot eyesores, the attack of the 50-foot eyesores, like all the...
The donut guy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, oh, that, yeah,
yeah they all become, like alive and yeah. They terrorize Springfield.
Lard boy or whatever.
Yeah, lard lad.
Lard lad, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
And how do you kill them? You just don't look. And that's how I try to treat lies and whining on Twitter. Like, just don't look. I'm not... Why I've even breathed some life into this, shame on me. But I saw all the at mentions starting to stack up like, Murray, see, it's happening. You said it wouldn't happen. Watson's coming to... He's not coming to the Patriots. Okay? Like, let's move on. Just don't look. Just don't look. Just
oh,
don't
I remember
look.
This song.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, so when it comes to lies and whining, Deshaun Watson coming to the Patriots.
I would say that okay. Deshaun Watson coming to the Patriots, to use another Simpsons reference, is about as reliable as the Canyonero. Remember that car?
The Canyonero.
4 lanes wide.
Yep. All right, to your calls we go. Tim in Attleboro, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show like usual.
Thank you.
I have, 3.5 things. I'll run by you and I'll hang up. One thing, I know Terry Rozier wanted more time, but I mean, he's playing great for Charlotte. I wish we would have kept him. And then going on to Mac Jones, if there's anybody that was as slow as Tom Brady as a rookie, is Mac Jones. When I seen him run, it was like, he's like Ben Roethlisberger is now, but he's, 20 years old. He's slow. I don't want him. I wouldn't mind Jacoby Brissett. Well, how about yesterday, Alex Smith got released. I know he's batted and everything, but do you think he could be a stopgap for a year or two? And I'll hang up and listen. Great show.
Thanks, Tim. I'm all set with Alex Smith just because I think that his bum leg, is the equivalent of Cam Newton's arm and shoulder, throwing arm and shoulder at this point, so I'm good.
I would take him.
You would at this point?
Well, he's good. I mean, he processes quickly. He can throw the short passes. I think he'd be good for their offense. I like him as a player. Obviously, he's not what he used to be. You know, you can say I'm the anti-Bedard here, but I'd bring him in to compete. I mean, look, is he going to be an upper echelon quarterback? No, but you know what Alex Smith can give you? And this is what Bill Belichick and his acolytes claim. All he needs is this, competent quarterback play. Alex Smith can give you competent quarterback play, which you did not have last year. So let's start there. I don't think you're in any position to be turning up your nose at Alex Smith. I'm sorry. That's just where the Patriots are at. I know you hear that. It's jarring. It sounds like it's overwhelmingly negative. No, it's just reality. You are not in a position to turn your nose up at Alex Smith. I'd bring him in, and if you get somebody better during the offseason, maybe you trade for Deshaun Watson. I doubt it. Maybe somebody falls to you in the draft. Maybe you get a Mariota or Jimmy shakes free and Jimmy G's back here. But I don't think you can turn your nose up at Alex Smith if you're the Patriots.
That had to have been music to your ears, though, the way that he was talking about Mac Jones and said he looks like a younger Ben Roethlisberger in terms of the body shape. And I will say this, he's pretty close there. I just tweeted out a side-by-side photo of Mac Jones from when Alabama won the championship, shirts off, where it looks like, me with a shirt off, compared to Ben Roethlisberger. The big fat pervert in 2011 when he was age 29. Kind of the same body type.
Really?
So, yeah. But you reset your thoughts on Mac Jones quickly. You just think that he's been too overhyped.
Yes.
There's the buzz is unwarranted. He's just going to be another guy. And the comp for him at best would be who?
I would say I think he's Andy Dalton light. You know, that's what I feel like he is. And if he's really, really lucky, max ceiling, he's Kirk Cousins light. I just feel like he has a lot of elements that these coaches and football people like. You know, he likes football. He likes to watch film. He processes quickly. You know, he delivers the ball pretty well. And here come the caveats. At the college level, when the talent around him is superior to everybody else he's playing against. And that's fine. I just feel like he's a product of the fact that Alabama is the 33rd NFL team. That team was stacked. That team was loaded. And I think that allowed Mac Jones to look like something he's not. It allowed him to look like a true franchise quarterback. I don't think that's what he is. He's not a difference maker. I think he's going to be one of these guys who comes in to the NFL, and he's a complimentary quarterback, you know, like a Andy Dalton, like a Derek Carr, maybe, you know, again, high-end, like a Kirk Cousins, where his play is predicated upon what you put around him. If you put really good weapons and a really good offensive line and everything's perfect and he has a great system and a great offensive coordinator, then he'll have stretches where he looks like a legitimate franchise quarterback. But if he doesn't have any of that stuff, then he's going to look like a Jag, and that's why he's Jag Jones instead of Mac Jones.
Jag Jones. He's gonna make you people start calling him that, whether you like it or not. He's
Jag
gonna
Jones.
Make that one happen. It's like fetch. Mike and Roslindale on Jag Jones. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I'm following up about your conversation regarding Tua. First of all, the Dolphins' offensive line was fine for Fitzpatrick, and there's an enormous amount of draft capital in that offensive line. So, you know, the jury's still out on sure. them. But
no running game, though, last year.
Right, no running back either.
Yeah.
As far as Tua goes, I remember that game where he replaced Hurts in college, and that was like, wow, what a passer. But I kind of, with the Dolphins, he's kind of like deer in the headlights.
Well, I mean, he's a rookie. It doesn't happen for everyone. I mean, he certainly won some games. He has to improve. If I were the Dolphins and I could get Deshaun Watson, would I throw Tua overboard tomorrow? I would. But I think, you know, not everybody's going to pop right away. And remember this, Tua played his first year. Patrick Mahomes didn't. Patrick Mahomes, sat behind Alex Smith the whole time. So what would Patrick Mahomes have been like if he had played as a rookie? Would we have seen some of his warts? Guys can make a big leap. Belichick used to always say that guys make the biggest leap between their first and second year and their second and third year. And normally by that time, you sort of know what they are. So I think the jury's still out on Tua.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, maybe the hip injury took something away from that guy that I saw in the college football playoff national championship game as a freshman. Maybe he's not ever going to be the same guy. But let me put it like this. If the Patriots had Tua as their quarterback in the future, I'd feel pretty good about the Patriots.
Yeah, I just think it's premature to say that he stinks because he's flashed at times and he's a year removed from like that vicious hip injury.
Yeah.
Like, I just think you got to give him a little bit.
Also,
more
I'll
time.
Say this too. Look, I think no position was probably affected more. And Justin Herbert had a great year, so it's not everybody, but affected more by the lack of an offseason and sort of the COVID offseason in the NFL than the quarterbacks, particularly the young quarterbacks. So I don't think that you can necessarily evaluate him 100%. Let's see how it goes with an offseason and you sort of go from there. The veteran guys, I don't give that excuse to. You know, I give a little bit of it to Cam Newton because he signed so late, but I don't say that that's commensurate to Tua. He's never even played in the NFL, and now you're trying to adjust. But some of the young guys, it can be challenging.
Speaking of Cam Newton, Carlos in Connecticut wants to talk about him. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, what's up, guys? It was funny you called Mac Jones, Andy Dalton, and Kirk Cousins light. That guy is Kirk Cousins heavy because he's a fat ass just like me. But nevertheless, the reason I called is because so Bedard was on his podcast and the guys were touching on it during the week. Is that he could see a scenario where Cam came back with a Minshew and a rookie. And Gasper, I just kind of want to get your take on that. I would actually be okay with that. I know Murray, you hate that. I know Maz and the other and Felger hate it too because of how much you guys hate Cam because he sucked. He did suck last year, but I don't put it all on him. But really, I just want to get your take on that and enjoy the show, guys. So
thanks, Carlos. And look, Carlos, I've said from the jump that regardless of who the quarterback was last year, it was going to be a heavy lift. It was a heavy lift for Brady the year before. But I just think that, and I was pro Cam Newton, remember now. I wanted them to sign him. I thought it was a great opportunity for him to reinvent himself, for the Patriots to reinvent themselves post-Brady. But it just didn't work. I mean, he just didn't look comfortable in the offense. He didn't process fast enough. I don't think it's a fit, ultimately. I think, you know, what's the old saying about the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Yeah. I think that's what it would be. I think it would be insanity to bring Cam back. I think you need to go in a better direction or a different direction and explore other alternatives. I'm not a Minshew guy. I'd rather have Alex Smith and a rookie because I think Alex Smith can mentor the rookie, and Alex Smith is going to give you a baseline of competent quarterback play. And that not only helps your team, but it helps you evaluate what's around you. Like, I think the Patriots, we all agree the weapons weren't great, Jim, but it's hard to evaluate guys when the quarterback's throwing the ball into the dirt.
Yeah. But boy, how times have changed, huh? And this is something I'm stealing that that Felger was saying earlier this week. You have Tom Brady celebrating his seventh championship, doing the old rounds, going on James Corden this week, and here we are quibbling over what bag of suck is going to be quarterback for this team in 2021. Good times here as Patriots fans. All right, with that, let's wrap up with five questions for Chris Gasper. It had nothing to do with sports, huh?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five!
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, Chris, question number one. I don't know if you've seen Coming to America 2 has been released. And so Coming to America 2, is this a great, fun idea? Or should Hollywood stop making sequels a million years later?
Well, so I want to say they should stop making sequels a million years later. But really, in the top five things during the pandemic that I'm disappointed about and that have made me angry, it's that Top Gun 2 didn't come out. So I'd be a complete hypocrite if I said that. So I'll say, keep making the movies. I'm 100% going to go to Top Gun 2. It might be the first movie I actually go back into the theater for because I want to hear those jet engines.
They pushed that back like a year, didn't they?
They pushed it back. So I don't even know when it's supposed to go be in theaters now. I have no idea.
I'm on the ladder on that. So Top Gun original, one of the most overrated movies of all time. I have no interest in seeing the second one. I loved Coming to America 1. Don't care about watching this one. And I didn't watch that second Borat. Like, I don't care. Come out with it in a timely manner. Do it right or don't do it at all.
Play it right. This is your Play It Right movie edition.
Question number two on that. What is one thing more than any other, Chris, that you have become way less tolerant of during the hell pandemic as we come up close to the pandemicversary next week?
Oh, that's an interesting quote. Whatever. I'll tell you this. I'll say this. People going down the aisle the wrong direction in the supermarket. Like, the whole idea is supposed to be social distancing and keep us safe, and people will repeatedly go down the aisle the wrong way in the supermarket. And before, you know, I never would care if there was like a backup in an aisle or somebody was taking a long time to pick something out or if I couldn't get down an aisle. But now I am like inordinately frustrated when someone has gone down the wrong way of the aisle and they're sitting there for 20 minutes trying to find coffee grounds or whatever they're looking for.
Oh, well, sounds like you would want to be yelling at me in any of those supermarkets. Like, that's you worry about you, I'll worry about me. Let me get my stuff and get out of here. Like, for me, it is, and this is now part of my just don't look ethos.
Okay.
Because I've unfollowed a ton of people on, like, so-called comedians who have decided to become serious political commentators without any semblance of humor or self-deprecation. Like, you're a comedian. Dance for me. Like, enough. I don't want to hear your crap. Question number three. Funniest TV character all time can be real or fake.
Oh, man. That's so hard to, off the top of my head. Funniest. I'll say this. Dwight Schrute.
Okay.
The Office.
I could see that. Yeah. Up there. Yep. For me, it's Al Bundy. You know, okay. Married with Children certainly could not be made today.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God.
But Al Bundy still holds up. Still hilarious. Question number four. What is a life hack, Chris, that you would like to share with others? In other words, you know, maybe using sunglasses as a phone holder. You know, things
like
that.
Give you a quick. So, like, you know, here's a quick, like, if you don't have time to wash something in the washing machine and there's a stain and you want to, you know, wear it. One quick life hack I found is that if you take some dishwasher soap, you put it on a paper towel, a lot of times you can get those stains out enough that you can wear it. You'll get it, and especially out of nice stuff like a suit, you know? Like, I was at a wedding once, and somebody got chocolate cake all over my sleeve, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to pay for the suit to be dry clean. Nope. Went to the, grabbed a little dishwasher liquid soap, put it on a paper towel, came right out.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, next. If you were given $5,000 to spend at only one store, where would you go to spend it on, Chris?
Oh, that is so I can only go to one store?
Just one store.
Oh, this is a tough question. One store. $5,000? Trying to think where $5,000 would go far. I don't know. I mean, I probably would. Wait, can I use some of the money to go to L.A. and go to those stores?
Yes, if you'd like, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would say I would spend it $5,000 at the Bloomingdale's at the Beverly Center on La Cienega Boulevard in West Hollywood.
That's very specific.
It's very specific.
Yes. By the way, my life hack for the people, too, because especially when you're not making a lot of money and, you know, the check engine light comes on, you're like, oh, God, I got to bring this to the shop. What's going to happen here? But the car still seems like it's running okay, and this check engine light is staring at me. Take a piece of electrical tape, black electrical tape, and put it over the check engine light.
What?
Now
what?
It's gone. You no longer have a problem.
No, that's not advisable at all.
Sure is, Chris. You know how many years I did that? Like because so many times, it's a knock sensor. You got to get the knock sensor fixed. How much is that going to cost me? Oh, like $800. What's it really do? Well, yeah, we're good here. I'm going to put the electrical tape over the check engine light. Boom. Everything's been fixed.
I know for a fact you're not doing that with your current car.
Well, no, this was a younger me.
Yeah,
like, if you're younger.
With your current car, there is no way, because if you did that, it's like you might as well just light a pile of money on fire.
Final question. Since Alex Trebek's passing, there have been two Jeopardy guest hosts, Ken Jennings and now Mike Richards, who's the show's executive producer. Chris, if you could choose someone to be the next guest host, who would it be?
Oh,
so we have some lined ups. Apparently, okay. Aaron Rodgers, Anderson Cooper, Savannah Guthrie. There's some lined up, but, you know, COVID has put that on pause for now. But is there someone you'd like to see as the next Jeopardy host?
Man, that's really tough. Off the top of my... Yes, Rashida Jones.
Okay.
Yeah. Harvard grad.
Yes.
She's funny.
Smart.
She's
attractive.
Smart. Yep. She knows the answers. You get a female host in there. Rashida Jones.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd want to pick there. That was just a question for you. I don't really have an answer. Al Bundy. How about that? The guy who used to play Al Bundy, who's the actor's name I forget at this point. Well, let's wrap for today, huh? Chris, always a pleasure.
Right back at you.
Brian Robb, Mass Live. Read his Celtics coverage there. That will do it for Gaspar Murray this week. We have Matt McCarthy coming up next with Leroy Irvin. I'll make sure I get the name right this time and not look like a complete a-hole. Everyone have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Mass. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.